and bring the word to you. I love the word of God. Word of God's what transforms us. We need revival, but if we don't have the word, we won't be reformed. The world needs reformation. Jesus discipled his disciples, and they brought it, but they went around teaching, preaching, and healing. So we want to preach, teach, and heal. Are you here? So we want it all. So I'm going to bring you a word. Father, bless the word today in the name of Jesus, and I pray you transform our minds. I really pray, I believe if you get a hold of these words, you're going to go out different. And I just, what I feel like he's going to do is just stamp out doubt. I feel like you're going to be a more believing believer by the time you leave. If you open your hearts, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So first I want to open up with just a really quick story about this once upon a time. When it starts with once upon a time, you know it's a story here. And once upon a time, a young woman dreamed that a handsome prince rode in. He sweeped her off her feet. Kisses her. She's blushing already. I can feel her heart ready to pounce right out of her chest. It's like, he's not doing this. He throws her up on his horse, and as they ride off into the night, she says, she's like, she's just blown away, and she's just like, my goodness, where are you taking me? And he shoots back. He says, I don't know, it's your dream. Sorry, whatever. Hey, what's your dream? You keep asking God, where are you taking me? And God's asking you, what's your... I put it inside of you, just wherever you want to go, whatever you want to do. Well, what has he told you? What's in your heart? What do you want? How about we say it? What we want? How about we declare it? Oh, we can't doubt it. We can't be afraid of it. We can't be silent about it. God didn't think and then the earth was created. He spoke it. We need to be released to dream. We need to be released to speak it out. And we need to watch what we speak out of our mouths. What's your dream? Is it coming to pass? Today I titled this message, The Cross of 2016, because I was thinking about, have you seen when the people graduate, they all have the class of, come on, you're a class of something, you know what I mean? T-shirts, the class of this, class of that, you know, and they have it on them. And I was thinking about that, I was thinking, okay, what about the cross of 2016? And the cross, you know, we're in 2016, six. What is that? What is six? You know, six, 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 the devil's number. How about a six is an awesome number? As if you're looking for that, you'll find the devil. But if you're looking for God, you'll find something really powerful. How about we search the scriptures for what God's saying? Do you know the Hebrew, the letter, that number, the number six, to understand it, you have to understand it's Vav. And it looks like a hook and it goes down. And this Hebrew letter Vav is a letter six, or the number six in the alphabet letter. It's this little hook, and sometimes we understand that a hook holds two things together. Well, literally, that's what this does, because Vav, it's first found in the Torah. If you want to find something, if you want the meaning of something, look at its first place of mention, and there's a principle called, you know, that principle of first mention. So if you go to the first mention, it goes all the way to the beginning. In Genesis 1:1, you'll see Vav. And it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens, Vav, the earth. He hooked heaven and earth together. Created heaven and. Created heaven, Vav, earth. Six, we're in 2016. Does it just happen to be a coincidence that it's this? And there's prophetic words about what's happening in the revival that's breaking out and all these things. And this six is that numeral, what links heaven to earth. And we keep praying every day. And Jesus said, you know, that on earth as it is in heaven. And are we believing for heaven on earth? And is it could it just be, it's not all coincidence, but this year is a year you should put on your t-shirts and on your hats and everywhere that you're of the class of 2016. It's pretty powerful. You know, as people graduate, they come out and they believe that they're going to make a mark on the world, right? No matter if it's high school, college, a trade school, whatever it is, when they graduate, they come out with dreams. The people who write down their dreams have like five times the chance of those who don't. And they did studies and they studied them after they, and the ones who wrote down goals and they wrote down dreams and the ones who just came out and said, it'll just happen and we'll see what happens. Nothing happened. The ones who wrote it down fulfilled their dreams in the high 80%, made that much of a difference. And so we need to say it. We need to write it. We need to speak it. We need to declare it. We need to believe it. And, something happens, you say, well, what's graduating have to do with spiritually? What, where are you going? When we're born again, we graduate from death to life. It says we once were children of darkness. We all once walked according to the prince and power of the air. Well, I was pretty good. You were still in darkness. When you get born again, you're born again. You graduate into light. You graduate onto God's team. You graduate. And then God tells you, turn the world right side up. Everybody's graduating. They're like, can't wait to go out and make their mark on the world. And they go party and turn the world upside down. How about when you get born again, you get to turn it right side up. You get to dream and be a part of that. So at Easter, we just looked at what all happened through Easter. We look at the passion play. You look at all what happened and through the cross and Jesus and his resurrection. Powerful. I want to take you right after that resurrection. And I want to set it up a little bit as I just did. But this is where I want to take you is John 20, 19 to the end of the chapter, to 31. And it says, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut. Now that means like bolted shut, dead bolted, these big bars, when they were shut. That's what it means. They were like bolted, dead bolted. The disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. So they bolted in and they were locked in fear. That one's free. Jesus came and stood in the midst. So if you someday get a handle on your fears, then maybe Jesus will come close, but until then he won't. No, Jesus came and stood in the middle of a room, an assembly gathered where there was fear. Just saying. And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and his disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said, again, peace to you, which is just a greeting, shalom. It was deep, but that's the common greeting. And he said, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. That's not just those who went to Bible school, not just the pastors and the, that's such a small percentage. What about the other 98 point something percent of Christians on the planet? Is this only for 1 point something percent going on 2% that will ever be in a full-time ministry position as a pastor or minister or missionary or something? No, this is for the 100%. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. Look at your neighbor and say, you are you. And when he said this, he breathed on them. Can I just say this? Nothing is in the scripture for just by chance, without a reason, without a purpose. There's something here. It said, and when he said this, he breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they're forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. So he says, he breathes, he says, receive, and then he hits it right on forgiveness. When we're born again, we believe. We receive forgiveness. Something happens. Now, Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, we've seen the Lord. So he said to them, look what he says. Unless I see in the hands the print of the nail and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. He'd been running with Jesus for 3 years, and he's saying, unless I see that, I'm not going to believe. After 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, meaning bolted, and he stood in the midst. He said, peace to you. Then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands. Some people think like he went right after Thomas because Thomas had unbelief. We all have unbelief at times, and Jesus didn't come in like, you know, Thomas. He didn't come in with a Darth Vader, Thomas. It wasn't like this fearful thing, I'm going to snuff you out, Thomas, if you don't deal with your doubt. I'm going to come with a magnifying glass and burn the doubt out of you. This is not the way he came. But we can like look at scripture, and if we have an image of God that he's the God with a magnifying glass trying to, I used to burn ants and stuff. We were just, we were messed up. We blew up alligator lizards with firecrackers. We did all this stupid, crazy stuff. Single mom was like, what are you guys doing? we were like, whatever. We were bad little kids. But I didn't have an image of God that was correct. And if my image of God, sorry for that image. Some of you are going, God, that's sick. Well, that's what happens when you don't have Jesus. I got saved. It wasn't since I haven't blown up anything since I've been saved. No, I love them. I catch them and let them go. We blow up the devil. We cast out demons. I'm promising you. So, you know, Jesus didn't come in. But if your image of God is God's an angry God, you'll read it through an angry lens. But if God's a loving God, you'll look at it in a loving lens. That Thomas is there and Thomas is in fear. And then my disciples are all in fear. And I'm going to come in the midst of my children and say, hey, peace, don't be afraid. And I'm going to go right to Thomas, who's more afraid. And I'm going to go to him first. And you have the most doubt. So I'm going to go to you first, because doubt and belief can't exist together. They're enemies. They're opposites. And so Jesus went in because he wants them to have faith. And he goes in because he wants and he knows what Thomas said. And first thing, and he looks at him, he says, reach your finger here and look at my hands and reach your fingers here and put them into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And I believe Thomas was just like, oh, he's like, my Lord, my God. And his confession, it just shifted everything, because Jesus, he takes away unbelief. He takes away doubt. He wants to stamp out doubt with love. And Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you've seen me, you believe. Now here's our part. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Look at your neighbor and say, now he's talking to you. And he goes on to say, and truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may what? Believe. That you may believe. So we might not be running with Jesus as one of the 12, but he recorded these things so that we can believe. You say, well, I don't know, I would have rather run with him. Only so many could be with him at one time. But we have that the book, the greatest book ever written in history, the number one seller of all times. We have this book we can't take for granted. And I don't care if it's electronic or whatever, but we have the Word of God. Are you here? We have his Word. And he says, these things were written that you may believe. We got to catch something there at the end of this. In Jesus, the Son of God. And believing, you may have life in his name. See, Thomas said, unless I see, I will not believe. But unless you believe, you're not going to see. Thomas said, unless I see it, I'm not going to believe it. But it's actually opposite. Unless you believe it, you're not going to see it. So, well, I just prayed for somebody and they didn't get healed. So believe it and pray for 10 more. And somewhere in there, I think it's like around, if you just say, I'm going to pray for 100, before 100, someone's going to get healed. And then you'll stop focusing on what didn't happen and start focusing on what did happen. Honor God for what he did do, and you'll see more. And we've seen hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people healed. Tons of stuff happen, but I see people sometimes that don't get healed. I'm not going to get stuck and just focus on that. I don't know. It's my problem. I'm sorry something happened that I just don't understand. But I'm not going to like go there. I'm going to go into my God's a healer. So I want my experience to catch up with my faith. I'm not going to make it reverse and say, you know, my faith is going to be limited to my experience. Which everyone in this room has a limited experience. Because Jesus was given the Spirit without measure, and we all have a measure. Just saying. So the cross of 2016, the class, we need to come and make our mark on history. The cross will mark us so that we can fulfill our dreams. There was 12 honor students in his class of the cross. One dropped out. We know Judas peaced out, but they replaced him. So there were still 12, and they made history. You can make your mark like they made their mark. You can fulfill your dream. You know, they still represented the teacher. They still believe. You can still believe and pursue your God-given dream. You can still do it. You know, William Carey was just an awesome man of God. He studied foreign languages to travel, and he studied foreign languages, and he studied the travels of Captain Cook, actually. And He was called foolish and impractical and a dreamer. And because even when he became a minister, they said, you're foolish. And one time he proposed this discussion at a minister's conference. He said, whether or not the Great Commission is binding upon us today to go and teach all nations. And an older minister rebukes him and he says, sit down, young man. When God pleases to convert the heathens, he won't need to do it through you or through me. What? Just because he's not converting them, so now I want to like make William come, let his doctrine and his beliefs come down to this guy's experience? No. Hello? Did you catch that? People see you all zealous and they're like, well, you'll calm down. Never calm down. Get more radical. When you see what Jesus did and you read and you're not doing it, say, I want more. And when you're doing it, say, I want more. No. How about no? Crazy. William Carey, he didn't listen to this guy and he didn't let him put his fire out. He didn't let a doubter determine his destiny. Eventually he leaves England and he heads to India. Changes, it's just rocks. And starting from a little map he hung on his wall and said, Lord, send me. That was it, just a dream. What's your dream? People always say, well, you know, God will just lead me. Yeah, I get that. But we get to be able to say, God, this is my dream, because he puts a dream inside of us and we get to vocalize it. How about we just say what our dream is? And sometimes there's a shift in the dream. How many know that, you know, some of the dreams of players is to wait for the draft day and then the phone rings and they're like, oh, I'm on the team. Party. I'm on the team. But then they get changed and they switch teams, huh? Hey, as long as they're playing, sometimes we have a plan and God shifts the plan. Do you know William Carey never planned to go to India? He planned to go to the South Seas. That was his plan. But God divinely diverted it and he went to India and rocked India. How many know David Livingston? He planned to go to China. But everybody knows he put his mark on what? China and Africa. It's a little bit, just a few miles away. So we can get a plan, but God can direct my steps. Just send me, God. I'm going to China. And then he's like, go to Africa. I was a youth pastor and I was like, and I used to bag on people. I'm like, dude, I don't care if I ever go to Africa. There's a mission field in America. Our youth are our mission field. We will rock the youth. We will rock the campuses. We will see them say, we will see if America shall be saved. Well, Africa too, but I was like, I don't care if I ever go to Africa. Maybe because my mom always said, you know, like starving kids in Africa thing. I don't know. I made this negative confession about Africa. And then one time I was sitting in a meeting and this African said, come to my nation. And God said, you're going to go to his nation. And I'm like, I know God's voice. So I wrote in my Bible, I'm going to go to this nation. It was Uganda. So I'm going to write this down. So I wrote down this nation down in my Bible. It was a post-it sticky. I have stickies everywhere and my Bibles are thrash. I put the sticky in here. 7 years later, evangelist, my friend calls me up and says, hey, I'm going to Ghana and I'm going to Uganda. I said, what? And he said, I want you to go with me to Uganda. And I'm like, I'm going. Because I knew God told me 7 years later, 7 years before, excuse me, that I would be going to Uganda. And so I wrote it in my Bible. So when he said, I said yes, before I even figured out the details and all that. But I did it. And I went. And then I had extreme favor in Africa. And then I've had the greatest visions and dreams. And I've been to, you know, a bunch of nations in Africa. And God's rocking all these places. Favor is there in Africa. And which is awesome. And it's not limited, you know, I'm finally going to get to go to China here in next month. And I'm, you know, we're doing things. We go to other nations. But my point is that God has permission to shift us where he wants to shift us. Yes. When the two animals were yoked together, he says, don't be yoked with unbelievers. How about the good side of that? How about when we're yoked to God? Yes. God's the big dog or the big bull in the whole situation. And we're the little bull, right? Ox. He's the big ox, we're the little ox. And wherever the big ox goes, the big ox just like pulls and they make this big rut for the harvest. And the little one's just like, yeah, man, we're bad to the bone. Well, you're yoked to the big ox. If the big ox turns, you're going to go with him wherever he turns. The big ox could lift him off his feet. The little one thinks he's doing it, but he's been training to do it. We're the little ox. Jesus is the big ox. And if he turns and says, let's go this way, and we're all stuck on our dream, I'm not supposed to go there. I have a vision for China. We get unyoked. You try to go to China without the yoke being yoked to God, you're in trouble. It's like, oh, you're going out there? Oh, don't want to be there without Jesus. Don't want to be in Africa without Jesus. Don't want to be in any nation without Jesus. Don't even want to go to America ghettos without Jesus. Don't want to go do anything without Jesus. I'm yoked to the master. So if we can be yoked to him and he can turn our dream, and that's totally cool as long as we're fulfilling the dream. Because it's a great commission, no matter what nation or what place or what area, whether it's with the youth or the college or the children, whether it's in the business world or in the neighborhoods, whether it's in, you know, Escondido or you know, in Oceanside. We go where he tells us. Are you getting that? But some people, they're not going because they are stuck on their thing. But these world changers, they learn. We can learn from them. God commissioned his disciples, and he can send us where he wants. And if he says, hey, your team colors were, you know, blue and gold, but now they're orange. Now your team colors are red and white, or, you know, I don't know, I could just say football. You're like, don't say that color. Hey, God can send us where he wants. I'm talking about teams, football teams, and he can put you on a team. You can get drafted. How about on God's team? How about we just say, I'm pliable. Use me where you want to use me. I just want to hear your voice because you're a light, a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And it's both. We can just have a lamp that we just see our feet, but he's that light that sees down here. And as long as I can just follow you on each footstep here as we're yoked, you're going to get me there. And if you make a turn and we go this way, God, we'll go that way, God. Wherever you want to send us, but just stay yoked to him. And believe that that cross is, there's something there. It connects from heaven to earth, but there's a connection the other way as well. So one, we need to receive and believe. So as the Father has sent me, well, they need to receive. And he said, receive the Holy Spirit. And as he breathed on them, there was something powerful. And if you look at that first breath, so one is receive and believe. One A is receive Christ. He breathed on them. Now, this is the second birth. This is a whole depiction of the second birth. They needed to be born again. They were with Jesus in the old. They would the spirit of the prophets would come on them and they'd prophesy for a while, but then it would lift. But in the new, the Spirit of God, Emmanuel, comes in us and is with us. Well, this is pretty clear what happened. Jesus said he breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. This is showing the second birth. It's like they were born again. And if you look at the breath, why did he breathe on them and then receive the Holy Spirit? Because as you see this, God breathed on. What else did God breathe on when there was life? Children's Church knows this stuff. Come on now. Genesis. Do you read your Old Testament? In Genesis 7, God formed man out of the dust of the ground and he breathed into his nostrils. So the breath of God was when life, when he breathed into Adam, there was life. Jesus breathed to show you there was a new birth. That's a second birth, being born again. And the Holy Spirit, when you're born again, you're born into God's household. But then there's the filling of the Holy Spirit because Acts 2 comes afterwards, right? So Jesus, then he's with his boys. He breathes on them. They receive the Holy Spirit. Then Acts 2, they receive the Holy Spirit. Is it here in John or is it Acts? Yes. They were born again and they were also baptized with the Holy Spirit. They were born again into God's household. We get through forgiveness, we get born into this family of God, but there was also a baptism for with power to be his witness, to go as he went. So I know it's basic for some of you and some of you maybe you need that, so take it. And so, and the next one, 1B, is we need to receive the commission of Christ. Because it looks different for all of us. And I know I kind of went long on that, but I just want you to get that. It looks different for all of us. Maybe you're yoked to him and you say, well, I can't believe this. I'm in this office, I'm in this building, and I don't, you know, you're there. Take God in there or go with God in there and watch what he does with him in there. You can be bummed. The Moravians, some of them, they said the only way we can get over here is to, they made themselves slaves to go in and minister to the slave camps. They said, we're so committed and hardcore. They made themselves slaves and went in and then rocked all the slave because they couldn't break in any other way. No one could go but a slave. What does it take? If you're in a place, instead of looking at what's wrong and what's negative, how about you take Jesus everywhere you go? How about you get yoked to the big guy? And you just, if sometimes we don't realize we are. And we just need to start to change our confession. Receive, 1B, receive the commission. As the Father sent me, I send you. Paul had this down when he implies we're the body of Christ. That means he was implying that Christ needs us to go. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. The angels do not preach salvation. They're not heirs of salvation. You are. They don't preach salvation. They bring God's message, but they don't bring the message of the gospel. We do. It's our job. They minister to you. Here. So when Paul said that, he implied when we're the body, that he needs us here. We're the body of Christ here. He needs us. But the other side to that is that Jesus is the head of the body, which implies we need it unless we're a headless body. And you're not going too far without that. So he needs us and we need him. And that's the way God constructed it. That's the way he designed it. That's the way he made it so we could work together. And the story that I was telling at the beginning is that sometimes we have a disconnect. And we need to get connected, and we need to vocalize our dreams, and we need to dream with God, and we need to believe that God will take us there. Because he will. And then number two is believe so you can see. Thomas, I won't believe unless I see. No, that's totally backwards. You're not gonna, unless you believe, you're not gonna see. It's totally backwards. Believe so you can see. Come on. Caleb believed he could go into the promised land, so he did get to enter. Those who didn't believe didn't go in, and they didn't receive. But he believed, and he stood. I love it in the Passion Translation, John 20:27. Thomas said, just take this, whatever your name is, fill it in right there. Don't give in to your doubts any longer, just believe. It's not a condemnation. It's identification. He's saying, you're just giving in to doubt. You can choose faith or you can choose doubt. Don't give in to doubts anymore. Choose to believe. Isn't that awesome? We have a choice. Isn't that awesome? And lastly, three, so you can fully believe. These things are written, verse 31, these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that in believing you may have life. The Passion Translation on this one says, and it's really neat, it says that you may fully believe. Wow, we just were at the grave of Catherine Coleman and the grave said, I believe in miracles because I believe in God. If we believe, it's easy to be a believing believer. It's actually harder to be an unbelieving believer. It's fulfilling to be a believing believer, and it's not fulfilling to be an unbelieving believer. And if you want to see miracles, just believe. See, it's really complicated. It's really, really simple if you break it down. But I got to tell you, number three is you got to read so you can fully believe. See, they had Jesus, and you said, well, if only I walk with Jesus. You have the Bible. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And those of you that don't pick it up, you will not read it, you won't ingest it, you won't get it in you. You can get it on your electrical devices. You can put it through your ears. You can put it through your eyes. But just get it. Read so you can believe. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. So who waits till they're totally run out of gas to put gas in their gas tank? Who totally waits till you're totally out of gas? Oh, I ran out. I need to go get gas. Don't you think like that? You think like, I need to put gas before it totally runs out. I know sometimes maybe you ran out of gas, you weren't paying attention, but I'm talking about as a practice. You guys are like, you don't know, Pastor. Oh my goodness. I got people blushing all over the room. I ran out. What I'm trying to tell you is that sometimes even when I have a half a tank, I'll top it off. Because it's there and I'm like, I know I have a journey. I'm just saying, if you just tap in and get faith every day, you'll be ready for the journey he has. Instead of realizing that you're on the day and you don't have the fuel to make it. Instead of looking and going, I wish I could pray for that sick person, but God, just pray for me. I need it right now. I need someone to step up to go believe for a miracle. It's like, I'm just believing to pay my rent right now, God. Or I'm just believing for this relationship. You want me to lead someone in a relationship of life? How about mine? Mine feels like messed up right now. But we need to feed our faith and we need to like pour into it. And when we catch that relationship, it's intimacy with him. So if he's that rhema that comes alive when the Logos comes alive, there's a love relationship in it when you read that you feel life and breath. And I get these things and I'm like, whoa. Sometimes I throw them out and I'm like, I thought that was really good. Because it was alive to me. And sometimes I hope something was alive to you. Are you with me? But we need to be lovers of the word of God. Because even with Joshua, he didn't just say, just to carry around the book or to carry around the phylactery. Is that what they called it? The phylactery was on their head. So they put the scriptures on their head. What good is that? You need a scripture? Here, I'll give you a scripture. How about we get it in us? We get the word in us. Not just a knowledge, a historian. I can quote the Bible. The cults do that. They come up and they quote the Bible. Blah, 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 blah. But they don't know him. It's not just know about him. It's knowing him. And the signs and wonders point towards him. Some people are like, man, I love your church because of signs and wonders. They point to him. It'd be like, I love that sign instead of the door. There's freedom out the door. We don't sit there and look at the exit and go, exit, exit, exit. You're so awesome. So powerful. There's an exit. Go out the door. It's a sign. The signs were so you could have a relationship. I'm not trying to bag on you. I'm just trying to say, it's life. It's life eternal. It's life. There's quality. There's life. It's like, you know, there's life. You know, some people they don't get what you have. There's something special. Well, I can just like listen to podcasts. Why do I need to go to church? There's life, relationships, people. There's people that will love on you. There's people that I would have never got to know Stephen until we went on a missions trip together. And the guy has like got some deep stuff. He's like the sleeper car that busted out on the stop sign. It's like, he's like, whoa. I'm like, wow, he's got deep stuff in here. And it's awesome. And, you know, so do stuff. And as you go in the journey, you build relationships in the church. You get friends that will stand with you through things. You say, well, I'm here and nobody. You make the friend. You make the friend. You go to the group. You connect in that ministry. Some places, if there's a warm body, it's like, you guys are this team and you guys are that team. We don't roll that way. You step out and connect. Love God and love people. But you need to get it on your head that you're of the class of 2016. It's this year right now. It's God's year. It's your year to dream. It's your year to walk in that anointing, to walk in that power. This is your year to have the best relationships you've ever had. This is your year to prosper body, soul, and spirit. This is your year for your miracle. This is your year to tap into what got sidelined. This is your year. It's not just God's year. It's not just something he'll do out there. It's something he'll do with you, to you, through you. He loves you. And he wants you to be a part of it. He wants you on a team. And the team win is so much better than an individual win. It's just so good. So just close here. There was a story of a king, and King Henry III of Bavaria. And he basically went to this monk and he said, I want to be a monk. And I almost want to come in here. And he's like, you realize that the monks come in and they serve and they all obey me. You know what I mean? The monk's like, you're the king. You want to come in and serve me, and you're going to do whatever I tell you because they all do what I tell them. This is awkward. You come in here, and I can't tell the king what to do. He said, I will totally do whatever you tell me to do. The king just submitted himself to the head monk. Crazy, huh? Do you know what he said? He said, okay, then if you're willing to submit your whole life to me and you're going to commit to me, go back out and rule as a king. Love people with that same authority from God and passion he had to want to serve God. Go back out. Jesus does that. Jesus takes us and he redeems us and he sanctifies us. And he doesn't say, I'm going to kill your desires. He says, I'm going to sanctify them, make them clean and holy and use them for my kingdom. So sometimes you say, I don't know what my dream is. Well, if you could do anything and money and resources and time, none of it was an issue, what would you do? Dream. It's a dream inside of you. If it's a godly dream and a good dream and it helps people, you probably are tapping into dreams. But be free to dream. I just want to pray over you. I'm done. I'm sorry. I could just keep going. I'm stopping. I promise. Stand up with me. Father, I just pray right now. Stand up for a second. God, I just pray right now over everyone in this room. God, I pray you just breathe life right now. Breathe life where